your life. It's alright. It's alright.
Yeah, you know what time it is? We can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy going to give you something to drink now. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forest Connor, we have investigator Shelly Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. And Shelly, I know you especially enjoyed getting to know Scott Gruenwald a little bit better last hour, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I think he would love to take you on a ghost hunt sometime.
Oh, really?
I believe so, yes. Would you be up for that?
I would be up for that.
Would you do a naked ghost hunt?
Oh, I might. I might consider it.
Even on national TV?
Perhaps.
And Forrest, you said you would.
I would.
Okay, guys. I'm going to pass the word along, and I'm pretty sure that I can make this happen.
Let's do it.
Okay, if I get you a plane ticket to California to go on a naked ghost hunt with Scott Gruenwald, will you let me down? I know Forrest won't.
I won't let you down.
maybe we should start a collection right now. Anybody who wants to fit the plane ticket, I'm pretty sure we can get at least one done. For Shelly. I don't know if people want to see you.
I know, it'd be kind of scary.
that would be horrifying. We'll talk to Todd Lincoln about the sequel to The Apparition.
Okay.
A truly terrifying experience. So.
The Apparition.
Yes, it would be a fitting sequel, come to think of it. You would have a lot more business at Wright's Coin Shop, I bet.
I'm sure. Yes.
How have things been going at Wright's Coin Shop?
Busy, busy. It's been wonderful. lots of our listeners have come in and been calling us. It's great.
Just one day I want you to be like, it's awful. I hate my job. It sucks. We're not selling anything. It's a great environment, isn't it? You love Wright's Coin Shop.
I do. You meet
a lot of interesting people.
We meet a lot of interesting people, and we all come to work just to see what the other person's going to say next. It's pretty funny.
Anything special happening there right now?
Goodness, just selling lots of gold and silver, and we have a lot more collector's coins out. We're having a hard time keeping the cases filled, which is nice. Just come see us.
How's gold and silver doing right now?
They're up a bit. They are. So, come in. Come in and buy it. It's only going to keep going up more and more.
Or come in and sell some. Yeah. How can people get a hold of you or find you at Wright's Coin Shop?
They can call me at 828-298-5402 or come in 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville.
Again, that number is 828-298-5402, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. We have a stack of just weird, crazy, Dark 30 material here. And you never know where it's going to go. And keep in mind, we don't make this up. We just report it. We're conduit for this information. It's incumbent upon us. It's our duty. Oh, what's this story? Here's a story from Ohio. Butler County, Ohio. 21-year-old student at a university there. He was caught urinating in public. And apparently a police officer caught him in the act. And so he was arrested. They said he was intoxicated. And after they processed him, they put him in the car. They're taking him to the police department, and the 21-year-old guy leans up to the front, and he says to the officer, "Pull over." And the officer says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Pull over." He says, "Why should I pull over?" And he says, "Because I'm going to slap you in the face with my..."
You should not say that to the police.
"With my thingy.
With my nightstick."
Yeah. That's not a good thing to say.
No.
At this point. You're already in cuffs. You're already arrested. There's a name for that. It's a hyphenated phrase. A blank slap.
Yes.
Have you ever been blank slapped before? Reminds me of Richard Nixon. So anyway, yeah, so he says, "Pull over, I'm going to blank slap you." And that did not help his case out any at all. Apparently, they have now charged him with additional things. And, of course, this story is being somewhat tied into just the rampage of similar types of stories, like the one I read last week about a man in New Zealand. He was about to receive a breathalyzer test, remember, and suddenly the officer, and this is at the police department, heard what he said sounded like a fountain being turned on, and he looks over, and the guy's just urinating all over the little filters for the test.
Yeah.
About 300 of them. Just a whole box this guy ruins. So, you know, you can't just complain about drinking being the cause of this. Not everybody who gets drunk does that. But it doesn't help. Here's a story that's somewhat appropriate for this political era. From Lake Park, Florida. It's a naked man story.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. 60-year-old man showed up stark naked, they say, at his girlfriend's house. She opened the door. He immediately lunged in. He grabbed her by the throat and said, "I'm going to kill you and burn your home." And then he started choking her to death. She was somehow able to get out of his grip. The authorities were alerted. They came and arrested the man. And, of course, they asked him,
why? Did you do this?
Why did you do this? Yes, the favorite question in law enforcement. And he said that his girlfriend was too liberal. That he said, "I'm a conservative, she's too liberal."
So break up.
This is right after the Republican Party deal down there in Florida. And they're claiming that he was obsessed with conservatism, and said that, you know, he was just laughing about it afterward. Pretty weird. But why get naked before you go do this? You know, it's like you're used to the concept of people getting together. They get into an argument. Somebody flips out, and it gets out of hand, and they try to kill the other person. But we're getting all these like premeditated stories of guys who apparently sit down. They choose to do something crazy.
That's true.
And then they take their clothes off and choose to go do it naked. Why is that? We don't know. We don't know. Have you seen a naked man running wild yet, Shelley?
No, I haven't.
Amazing. I think, well, we have UFOs flying around over the theater when we're watching the movie.
Yes.
I see a black dog. It's about time for you to have a naked man pop up, a naked man attack. Maybe at Wright's coin shop.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do not show up at my coin shop naked.
I think 2012 may have this planned. It's out of our hands. But now, sometimes being naked can be a good thing. If you are a woman in Canada, for example. Now, which, you know, it's funny because we recently had the second topless rally here in Asheville,
right,
which I didn't go to it. Did you guys, you know anybody?
No.
No, we really don't. We can imagine, you know, we've seen pictures. It's just women running around topless and a bunch of
perverted guys gawking and photographing them.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as you'll get in Asheville. Now, in Canada, they say, there are strip clubs there that are offering the same benefits to the strippers as if they join the military. That if you join up and you become a stripper there, that they can get tuition paid for either full or part-time classes at a variety of colleges and universities, and other similar, you know, benefits. And this is working big time. The women says, you know, they have to be double D's, but they must maintain a B-plus average in order to do this. And they can take any class they want to better themselves. And they say, quote, we have girls studying business, finance. They're becoming nursing assistants. One is taking chiropractory. And this is sort of being embraced from what I can tell. Because, you know, I guess that's what a lot of women do anyway, right? They strip to pay their way through school.
Yeah.
And when you look at some of the money these ladies pull in, it's kind of easy to understand that. Did you ever think about doing that, Shelley?
No, I don't think so.
See, we didn't have that opportunity in life, Forrest.
We didn't. We got a bad draw.
Poor put upon men.
I think we should sue somebody.
We should.
This is sexist. Nobody offered to give us a nice job and benefits to strip down naked. I know I could do it
in a
just for the
house.
Fun of it.
In a haunted house.
With Scott Gruenwald.
So there is an option for it.
There is an option.
So you never, I mean, have you ever been offered a job like that, Shelley?
Not as a stripper, no.
Really?
No.
I figured that would be something that would pop up in a woman's life at one time or another. They make a lot of money, thousands of dollars a night. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue telling you about some crazy, weird stories around the world. We have one from Louisville, Kentucky, about a very weird, creepy, kind of sleazy discovery that was made when some workers decided to go in and renovate some old buildings. Yeah, they found something that shows part of the dark past of Louisville, Kentucky. That and a lot more as we continue here during the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Like a dead man from a white oak tree, people sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night. Dark the neighborhood was changing, strangers moving in, a new boy.
the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the hour when some of the stories, not all of them, but some of the stories we read are a little bit more controversial. Some would consider them outrageous or offensive. So it's that's why we do this late at night. It's not for the easily offended. If you have kids around, you know, it's probably not for the kids. And but, you know, we're just reporting these things to you here on the Dark 30 Hour in the studio with Shelley Wright. We have Forrest Connor. Keep in mind, this show is brought to you in large part by the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. A lot of people are still out of power as these storms rage around the country, but they don't have to be. Sunshine Simple solar generator was created by me and my team, and it requires no fuel. It has no moving parts. It can be used day or night. Go check it out. Watch the little video that gives you a free demo at sunshinesimple.com, sunshinesimple.com, and you'll see why we get thank you notes all the time from people who are relying on them when their power is gone, for sure. And by the way, I don't know if you're following Scott Gruenwald yet on Twitter, but I just got a tweet from Scott Gruenwald that says, Joshua P. Warren makes my bathing suit area feel funny. So, thank you, Scott. See, we have the very finest guests and people who really love us and what we do here on Speaking of Strange. Everybody, you know, expresses their love in different ways. And some workers in Louisville, Kentucky, have had an interesting revelation. There's apparently a place called Whiskey Row in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, I have driven through Kentucky many times, but I've never spent any time in Louisville. Have you, Forrest? I know you're a traveler. You get around a lot.
No, I think I... No.
Okay. And Louisville, is that where they do the Kentucky Derby? Is it Louisville or Lexington?
I think it's Louisville.
Is it Louisville? We need to go up and do the...
Churchill Downs.
We need to do that sometime. We need to, I think it's like maybe 6 hours.
Have some mint juleps.
There you go. Mint julep, and maybe we'll hit it big.
We should do it.
Are you a good judge of horses?
I've never judged a horse.
Never judged a horse. Have you, Shelley? You think you could be a good horse judger?
I don't think so.
Really? Your psychic powers would fail you in that instance?
Perhaps.
Mm.
Haven't tried.
Well, I think we should do that. So there's a place in Louisville called... Historic Whiskey Row, and these are our buildings that have been used for, you know, clubs and bars and taverns for, gosh, decades, in some cases centuries, I guess. But a lot of them have just been sitting there kind of rotting away, and so they have a demolition crew that's been going through and tearing some of them down. The superintendent of this project says, quote, "This is the weirdest thing I've ever found," end quote. He says that two floors below Main Street, a large black and white logo displays the word latex. And they're thinking that this must be the name of this club that was operating maybe 100 years ago, even that long ago. Does that even make sense? Well, yeah, I guess it could. I don't know. When was latex invented? I don't know. Here, Forrest is going to look that up for us. I know that rubber has been around for quite a while, but I don't know about latex. So anyway, they say it was a century-old wall that latex was painted on. So they go walking into this door, or through this door, and it takes them deep into this subterranean blackness. And as they're walking deeper down, there was a series of oil paintings depicting what they call here a series of bizarre images, both sexual and violent. Quote, "very disturbing," end quote, is what the superintendent said. Below one painting, there is a piece of equipment that appears fit for a torture chamber. There's a wooden rack large enough for one or two people, including a headrest and a rusted chain that can be turned by a handle. a gear resembling a saw blade is connected to the handle. They found candles, couches, weird cobwebs all over cloth draped on tables and chairs. Very creepy sight, but they say it looks like some type of a sadomasochistic swingers club, which has been abandoned down there for decades. So I'm not sure if they can tell how old it is, but they say that the building is at least probably 100 years old, but they, you know, this little club could have just operated decades ago. Nobody knew about this, though. This was some kind of secret underground thing. And, you know, I've never really understood the sadomasochistic concept. You know, I mentioned earlier in the show, sometimes we go out after this program late at night, and sometimes we just have a snack or a beer. Sometimes we do weirder things.
Yes.
And I think it was one night last year, you informed us, Shelley, that there was a party going on that you'd heard about.
That I had been invited to, yes.
And we won't say where it was.
Right.
But it was in a residential area.
Yes.
And we got there late at night, and, I mean, there were a lot of cars parked on the street. And we walked up this long, dark, secluded driveway to a rather sizable house-slash-barn-type complex.
Right.
And it was packed with people.
Mm-hmm.
We went inside, and sure enough, there were people hanging from swings. They were chained up. They were being whipped. They were being spanked. There was nakedness everywhere.
Piercing and tattooing going on.
I mean, it was surprising to see such a large, well-organized event happening in this residential area. You could drive right by there and have no clue that back behind a couple fences and some yards, this is going on. Did you get some data for us there for us?
I did, actually. Christopher Columbus is credited with discovering latex.
Really?
And it was in 1876 that a guy brought the seeds back to London, and it was starting to be experimented with. The prophylactic version of latex was not used until the 1920s.
So this could have been a century old then?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, how do you like that? You just don't think of people 100 years ago doing that, but what do we know? They just kept it secret. So here we are, and it was fascinating, and it was entertaining.
Yes.
To watch these people doing this stuff to each other, this stuff that was certainly R and to some extent X-rated. But I didn't have any desire to be a part of it, to participate in it.
No.
And
the drinks were
I'm not sure how
awful.
Convincing that sounded. The drinks were pretty
They were
weird.
Horrid.
Yeah, who knows what we were drinking.
Who knows what we were drinking.
So you want to tell us more about how you just happened to end up with this invitation, Shelley, to this little party?
Little shop I mm-hmm. occasionally frequent, and I just got an invitation.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You had the look.
Apparently.
I bet they were very disappointed that... Because I bet if I hadn't been there, you'd have been playing right along. You knew you couldn't do that with me there because I'd come back and tell everybody on the radio.
You're a tattletale. No, I was fine being an observer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we couldn't really dress up. I did say we have to work before we have a show to do before we come over. But we'll see you much, much later. And well, we were welcomed.
Well, yeah, we were welcomed.
We were welcomed.
We were welcomed. All right. Let's see here. Let's dig a little bit into the... Oh, actually, gosh, we're already up on a break. Tonight is flying right by. When we come back, I'll tell you what happens when a mail-order bride relationship goes bad. This is a story from Houston, Texas. It's the dark 30 hour when we dig into, well, the type of material that's a little more sordid and seedy and stuff that you might not hear so much about the rest of the time in the mainstream media. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Elle lutte à ce débat mais ne résistera pas. Je vais bloquer l'ascenseur. Je vais prendre ta douleur. Saboter l'interrupteur. Je vais prendre ta douleur.
Dark 30 hour. We've told you before, we'll tell you again, it's the hour when some of the stories we read are a little more outrageous, controversial, a little more seedy and sordid. They're real stories, but stories we say for late night, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So consider yourself notified. In the studio with investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop, we have producer Forrest Connor. So do the people at Wright's Coin Shop enjoy supporting this type of content, Shelley?
Yes, we do. We certainly do. Our kind of people.
Apparently so, considering the parties you attend in your spare time. Let's see here. Okay, Houston, Texas. Let's see. This is one of these mail order bride type deals. They say here that a Texas man supposedly, well, met, if you will, on a website or through a website, an aspiring Ukrainian singer. It's always those Eastern European women, it seems like, who end up in this mail order bride situation. You know, we were in Romania recently, Shelley.
Right.
And I was told before I went to Romania, like, hey, you toss out a $50 bill there, you'll probably bring a lady back home.
I thought it was a $20 bill.
Well, you know, she's got to eat.
She's got to eat.
And by back home, I don't mean to the room. I mean across the pond, back to the U.S. of A.
Yes.
Some will just do it for free.
Right.
And there were attractive ladies there. How were the men? Were the men good looking?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Okay. There were some attractive ladies. So anyway, this guy, he claims that, you know, he made this arrangement for a mail order bride, that he sent her $57,000 and then she broke off the engagement. And at this point, he became angry.
Sucker.
Yeah, he says, I've been duped out of 57 grand by this woman. And, you know, it makes me wonder, in this kind of situation, how do you even know if it's a woman?
Exactly.
Because I've seen, you know, TV programs, 2020 type stuff, where guys get in this situation, and it's not even a woman. It's just some dude who may not even live in that country or whatever, anybody can create whatever profile they want on the internet. This is not the real world.
Right.
But this, so this guy, he's dumb enough to blow $57,000, and then she breaks it off. So then what does he do? He starts planning her death.
Idiot.
He was like, she's not going to get away with that with me. So he contacted a hitman and made this big plan for the hitman to go to the Ukraine, kidnap her, shove her in a crate, and ship her to his house in Texas. Okay? And the plan was, why that the hitman was over there in the process of kidnapping her, this guy had already started working on a fortified room he had built in his trailer to, quote, get a good week out of her, end quote, before killing her. Okay, so he's going to torture and God knows what he's planning to do. Turns out the hitman he hired was an undercover agent.
I knew it. Ah.
Whenever it makes the news, it's usually because, not a real hitman. And so, obviously, you know, the guy was arrested. He's pleaded guilty to attempted kidnapping and brandishing a firearm in connection with the case. And it says here, okay, there is something to indicate that he believed that she was, you know, she was at least a real person. And so apparently the woman now, I mean, it looks like that she was a real woman, and it kind of looks like that she just kind of got away with taking this idiot's money. That's what it looks like.
Right.
So let that be a lesson. Mail order brides. See, that's why if you're going to get a woman like that, your best bet is, instead of spending the $57,000, buy an airplane ticket. Go over there, get her, escort her back yourself. Right? Then you know exactly what's going on. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, if you got to do the mail order bride thing, I guess that's the way to do it. But I'm just thinking that the whole thing is, that's just not, that's just not the way to go.
There are easier ways to find a mate nowadays, if you must use that type of alternative method. I don't even know how people meet each other anymore. I mean, I'm special, of course. I meet people all the time because, you know, I'm a huge celebrity. But how do real people, how do little people like you guys meet folks? How does that happen? Well, I got the one finger salute. No, I mean, it's like you have high school sweethearts. Do you just want to go to a bar and pick up somebody? Is that a good place for a pickup?
No.
How do you pick up people now? Do you do the online dating thing, which that still brings us back to this murky territory?
I wouldn't do that. I would rather know someone through friends.
So the friends are hooking you up. That would be the idea.
Perhaps.
Well, here's a story that was in the Huffington Post, which is pretty weird, not surprising, because it includes David Bowie. And apparently, according to this Huffington Post article, Slash from Guns N' Roses claims that he once caught David Bowie with his mom. Okay, with Slash's mom. Okay?
Okay.
And by caught, you know, I'm not saying they were fishing. He says, and this is kind of weird, according to the Huffington Post, my mom started working with David professionally at first. She did his wardrobe for the Man Who Fell to Earth movie. He started coming over, and then eventually he walks in and he catches David Bowie with his mother. And of course, Slash says he didn't like this, He was resentful of the whole situation. I can't figure out what the ages are in my mind here. I mean, Farce is rolling back over to the internet. How old are all these players? Isn't that odd, though? Of all people, didn't I recently read a story where somebody claimed that David Bowie and like Mick Jagger had hooked up or something like that?
I think so.
I can't keep up with all this.
Sounding very familiar.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's a weird one. Oh, San Diego, California. Let's see here. A driver for what they call their Metropolitan Transit System. I guess it's a bus driver. A driver became sick and started feeling dizzy while on his route. And then two other drivers, also on different routes, started getting sick. They pulled off the road. They reported they were ill. You know, of course, they began investigating this. Turns out all three of the drivers, before they had gone to take their route, had enjoyed some brownies given to them by a fellow employee.
All righty.
So, of course, the idea here is that these are drug-laced.
Yes.
Brownies. I mean, they're saying drug-laced. Maybe it's marijuana. I know you can technically call marijuana a drug. You can call caffeine a drug. You can call chocolate a drug. If it's just marijuana, though, I mean, well, you shouldn't be driving a bus high, period.
No.
But it's not like it's going to kill you or anything. But, yeah, so they're looking into that. And then also a similar type of thing. Well, not really, I guess. In Ashburn, Virginia, right now they say a substitute teacher is in trouble because they don't say if it's a man or a woman, but this teacher came to school drunk, really, really drunk. That figures, though, that a substitute would be drunk. Maybe.
Why do you say that?
Maybe the substitute didn't know until the last minute that he or she was going to have to sub. And it's like, man, if I'd known, I wouldn't have got drunk. But okay, I need the money.
That's still lame.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got a couple of stories here that I've saved for the end. And, you know, I've saved them for the end for a reason. They're a little more graphic and weird and controversial, and I'll do my best to read them as properly and professionally as possible so that you'll understand how strange the world is becoming. But I think we've come too close to crossing too many lines already tonight, so bear that in mind. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back. of tonight, speaking of strange, it's the Dark 30 Hour. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is your warning. We are sharing with you some of the stories that are more controversial, a little more seedy. It's not for the easily offended, not for the kiddies. Turn off the radio. Come back in, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. Come back at the top of the hour. For something new if you're not interested in this sort of thing. I think by most people's standards, Japan is a pretty weird place. Even by my standards. I mean, they do just crazy things. And they've invented... I mean, it's one thing to do crazy stuff. They invent crazy things. I don't even feel comfortable referring to... There's something in particular in my mind that... We won't even get into that.
I know what you're thinking.
You know,
I do too.
Are we all that telepathic?
Yes.
Starts with a B?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, they have just had a charity fundraiser in Shinjuku, Tokyo, Japan. This is a province there. It's called Erotica Will Save the World. A 24-hour live-streamed fundraising event. So men and women came out to enjoy 2 days of activities and festivities. Some of the stalls had various toys, adult videos. And some of the events included marathon in which people would do certain things themselves, right? We know it's a marathon, right? One of those. But they say the most popular attraction was the breast fundraiser, which encouraged people to donate to charity. If you donate some money, you're allowed to go into a room where there are 10 lovely adult video actresses. And they say, here's how it works. Number one, you line up and you have your ID checked. You have to be over 18. Number two, you donate money. Number three, you sterilize your hands.
Oh, God.
And number four, you get to go up and give them a little squeezes. Honk, honk, right? Up to two squeezes per hand. And the organizers have recommended that if the squeeze is not enough, well, then go back to number one and get in line, start over again. And they are saying that all the money raised is donated to Stop AIDS, a charity aimed at promoting the awareness, treatment, and prevention of AIDS. Okay. Some might say they're... they're not quite approaching that in the best fashion, shall we say. But finally, let's bring it back to the U.S. There is a video that has become very popular, circling the net. We'll call it a viral video. I watched it. I had the misfortune of watching it. Maybe you've heard about it. It's an Indiana woman, and she's been nicknamed Bottle Girl. 24 years old. And she's been named Bottle Girl for what she did in a truck bed in front of a big crowd of people. It says there was a diesel extravaganza at some fairgrounds. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but you can see in the video, if you so choose to find it on your own, because I will not post this for you. She gets a bottle of Jack Daniels and does some very creative things with it. She was drunk, but she says, I have no regrets. I don't live my life by regrets. Looks like I'm famous now, so I'm going to make the most of it. Welcome to the American Dream. And that's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Until next time, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. And barring ball games, tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded.
I like to do